Good morning. It's a blessing to be here. It's an honor to speak. Before I get into my message, how many of you are enjoying the beautiful weather? Finally got the bikes out. I bought my wife and I a couple of bikes back in September, and September is right before hunting season, and hunting season leads into the holiday season, and the holiday season leads into the busy late winter, early spring stuff. So we bought these bikes that were flat and needed a little bit of repair, and they've been sitting in my garage since Labor Day, and I've had the tubes since the day after Labor Day to replace them. And so finally I got around to doing that yesterday, and I have a little spiritual nugget for you that has nothing to do with my sermon, but my daughter, she just learned not too long ago how to ride a bike without training wheels. And we loaded up the bikes in the back of the truck after we got them all tuned up and fixed, and we headed down to the island to go for a little spin around the island. And my adorable little daughter has not figured out yet that you can't look at something and not steer towards it. So everybody that we went past, she greeted with a big smile and almost ran right into him. I keep turning around and looking behind me. You know, it was me in the front, and then Quinn and Sarah and Mom in the back to make sure that all the little ducklings were okay. And Sarah, every time we went by one of those concrete barriers in the middle of the walkway, I'm like, oh my God, my daughter's going to hit that. And sure enough, I would hear, Sarah, 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 Sarah. And she would just barely miss it. So don't look at the obstacles in your life. Don't focus on the obstacle, focus on the end goal. Don't focus on the obstacle, the situation that you're facing, the thing that's standing in your way. Focus on the God that's bigger than all of that, and focus on our destination, which is heaven. Amen? Yep. Nothing to do with my message, but my little daughter is just so cute, I had to share. It's an absolute treasure to get to minister on Palm Sunday. I was able to speak for Palm Sunday service last year. And for believers, this is a day of really special significance as it commemorates the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And just a few short days before or after, the crowd was throwing their coats in the middle of the road and cutting down palm branches and laying them before him in the road, celebrating his coming. They would be hitting him and spitting on him and plucking out his beard. Just a few days after shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, they'd be shouting, crucify him, crucify him. This day marks the beginning of the week leading up to the victory over sin at the cross and the victory over death at the resurrection. This is a special day marking the start of a special week, and truly it's an honor and a privilege to get to bring God's word this morning, and I pray that you're blessed by it. I ask you to turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 11 with me. We're going to read from God's word. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and they will immediately send it here. So they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those that stood there said to them, hey, what are you doing loosing that colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, and so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Lord, truly we are grateful to be in your house. And truthfully, God, our hearts cry this morning, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, as we've worshiped and praised your name and we felt your presence, Lord, we thank you for that this morning. And God, as we dive into your word, I pray that you would bring it alive in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me to be able to bring out that which you've planted in my heart, God. Lord, I am incapable and inadequate in myself, but Lord, it's your anointing that makes the difference. God, I pray that you would set our ears on fire to hear what you have for us this morning. Set our hearts on fire to receive it. Lord, we thank you for it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Little donkey, big mission. Itty bitty donkey with a really, really big mission. This little donkey, there's much that we can learn from him and from this story. This little donkey had a role to play in the salvation of the world. This little donkey was the mode of transportation that Jesus took into Jerusalem on that last trip in before his crucifixion. And though he was likely unqualified, he was young. Nobody had ever ridden on him before. He was trusted with the mission of carrying the Savior into Jerusalem where he would sacrifice his life for the sins of the world. He was not a mighty, majestic war horse. He was not a beautiful stallion. He wasn't big. He wasn't strapping. He wasn't tall. He was a little donkey, a little farm animal. Yet, God had him picked out for one of the most important animal missions in all of the Bible. You know, you look at how God used nature all throughout the Bible. He used a fish to swallow Jonah, to teach Jonah a lesson. He used a donkey to speak to Balaam. Thank you. Couldn't think of the guy's name. He used a donkey to speak to Balaam. He used this donkey to carry the Savior of the world. This morning, I want to share a few things that we can learn from this story and from this little donkey. Number one, if God sent them, you can trust them. If God sent them, you can trust them. The disciples were told by Jesus to go and take this little donkey from the farm and bring him to Jesus. And notice that I said take and not steal. Stealing is taking something that does not belong to you. And since everything belongs to Jesus, it's impossible for him to steal. He wasn't stealing this donkey. I've heard people argue that. Well, you know, if he's God, why would he steal an animal? He wasn't stealing. It was his to begin with. And that's a good lesson for you and I. Everything that God has entrusted to us, everything that we own, everything that we've been given, we need to hold with an open hand because it doesn't belong to us. We're simply the stewards of it, the caretakers of it. God's entrusted it to us, but it belongs to him, and it's his to call back any time that he sees fit. Hold everything that you own with an open hand. Be generous, because after all, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And that wasn't one of the main points of my message, but it's good stuff. But the disciples went and they did as Jesus commanded. And they went and just as he had said, they found this donkey tied to a tree. And they began to untie him. And they were stopped. And somebody said, "Hey, what are you doing taking that donkey?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." Oh, okay. How much faith would it take to actually go and do that? I'm amazed. I marvel at the faith of the disciples. And I'm sure they were emboldened a little bit when they got there and they saw that, in fact, there was a donkey tied to the tree, just as Jesus had said. It's like, oh, okay. Maybe he knows what he's talking about. But they untied the donkey and they did just as he said. But as I began to kind of think about this, how many of you have ever gone to a friend's house and you walked in and they had a dog and the dog didn't know you and the dog didn't like you because the dog didn't know you? Have you ever had that happen? Donkeys, I was doing a little research on this. Donkeys are not herd animals like horses. Donkeys are more social in that they pick one or two other creatures and they cling to those. That's their mini pack. They partner up and they stick with that person. And so this donkey, being there with his mother on this farm, I would imagine that he was bound pretty tightly. He had a tight bond with his mom. And here these strangers come up the road and begin untying his rope. Why didn't he fight them? Why didn't he rear up and kick them? It was because God sent them. If God sends them, you can trust them. Donkeys are renowned for their stubborn nature. If he didn't want to go, he would have put up a fight, you can imagine. But because God sent them, this little animal trusted. I believe there was some Holy Spirit guidance here at work in the heart and mind of this animal. How does that apply to us? What does that mean for us? God sends people into our lives to speak truth to us. God sends people into our lives to encourage us, to instruct us, sometimes to correct us. It's important that if God sends them, we trust them. It's important that if God sends someone into our life to speak something to us, that we believe it and we trust it. If this donkey didn't trust that Jesus had sent these disciples, he would have missed out on being part of one of the greatest moments in the earthly life and ministry of Jesus. He would have missed out on one of the greatest stories in the Bible. He would have missed out on the blessing that came with carrying the Savior. There's no way of knowing what kind of heartache we may have to endure, what kind of blessing we may miss if we fail to trust those that God has sent to instruct, correct, or encourage us. Now, don't misunderstand me. That's not to say that we should automatically believe or trust every voice that speaks to us that says this is from God, because we need to be discerning. But Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow." One surefire way to know if it's if it's not the voice of God is if it contradicts Scripture. The Word says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word says that His Word is forever settled in heaven. God will not contradict His Word. So if someone comes to you and says, "I know you're really going through this and you're really torn, but God said it's okay for you to leave your wife and marry this other woman," I don't think that's of God. That's a problem. If someone comes to you and says, "Well, it's great that you believe in Jesus, but you have to do this, this, and this in order to be saved," I wouldn't trust that voice. Because the Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of works. So if someone comes to you and says, "You need to do this, this, and this good work in order to be saved," probably not somebody speaking truth into your life. But one example that immediately came to mind for me of a voice that we should trust is our pastor. God has set our pastor over us and placed him in this position to lead our church family. And because God has sent him, we can trust him. And I know Pastor will back me up when I say this, and I don't look for this to happen, but the day that Pastor goes off the wall and starts preaching something other than the gospel that's in the Scripture, that's the day that you should question his authority. But it hasn't happened yet, and I don't look for it to happen. But because God has sent him, God has entrusted this position to him and entrusted us to his care, his pastoral care, entrusted him to shepherd our congregation, shepherd our flock, we can trust him. We can trust his leadership, and we can continue to trust him for our growth and for our encouragement and our instruction in the Word. If God sends them, you can trust them. Number two, God, and I love this, God has a plan for your life. Don't ever think that God doesn't have a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life, and he laid out the blueprint long before you were ever born. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, the prophet says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey," not just a donkey, goes on to clarify, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Clear back, hundreds of years before Christ was ever born, God had a plan for this little farm animal. God had a plan and a mission for this animal hundreds of years before he was born. God looked down through time and established a work for this donkey to do, a mission for him to carry out. And if God has a plan for a donkey, you can trust that he has a plan for you too. Jesus said in Matthew 10:29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will." if God has a will for even the most insignificant of creatures, you can trust that he has a will and a plan for you too. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has established things for us to do in this life. God has a mission for each of us. And he plotted it out. He planned it out. He wrote it down long before you were ever born. Don't ever think that God doesn't see or care where you're at or have a plan for you. Don't ever feel... I've often told my wife when I was going through seasons like this, I feel like I'm in a sailboat and I'm out in the middle of a pond and there's no wind. But we don't have to feel that way, because God's word tells us that he has a plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11, one of the most often quoted out of context scriptures in the Bible, says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And I say it's often quoted out of context because they leave behind the backstory. And when you get a hold of that, that's when this verse really comes alive. Israel was in captivity. They were exiled from their homeland and they were in captivity. And there were false prophets saying, "God said he's going to set us free." And Jeremiah was the true mouthpiece of God. And they call him the weeping prophet because nobody listened to Jeremiah during the time. He spoke and no one listened. God came to Jeremiah and he said, "They're kind of right. I'm going to set them free. I haven't forgotten about them. I still love my people. I still have a plan for my people. I'm not going to completely abandon them, but I'm not turning them loose tomorrow. It's going to take 70 years in captivity. They're going to be set free. I've got a plan for them. I have a purpose. But they're going to have to go through some stuff. They're going to have to go through some dark times. They're going to have to walk through some heavy stuff. But keep trusting. Keep the faith, because I have a plan and I've not rejected him. I've not abandoned him." And God's telling us the same thing. He's not forgotten about us. Though we may have to walk through some times of uncertainty and some times of questioning and some things where we don't understand the will of God, you can trust that he has a plan for your life. And it's not a bad plan. It's a good plan. Right. The word says that everything we go through is to shape us and to mold us into the image of Christ. It's for our good. So just keep trusting that God has a plan and a purpose for you. Number three, we need to wait patiently. I don't like to wait, and I'm not patient. But we need to wait patiently. Last year when I preached on this passage of scripture on Palm Sunday, I talked about how Jesus needed a ride into Jerusalem. And God had all the details worked out long before Jesus had ever gotten there. The donkey needed to be born at just the right time so that he was young enough that nobody would have ridden him, but old enough that he could have carried the weight of a grown man sitting on his back. He had to be born to an owner and in a place where people would have been receptive to the word of God. When the disciples said, "The Lord has need of him," they would have been receptive and turned him loose. And God knew clear back hundreds of years before, when he prophesied through the prophet Zechariah, exactly when, where, and how this was all going to play out. But this year, I want to look at this at a little different perspective. You and I need to wait patiently. This donkey was tied to a tree. And allow my imagination to run for just a minute. But I can just imagine that this little guy spent his days watching his mama pull a plow or carry supplies or carry water. Watching his mom work with purpose and with diligence. Longing to have a place of his own. A job. He was a work animal. He was born to be a beast of burden, born to do work And yet here he was, tied to a tree. Longing to have a place, eager to grow up and fulfill his potential, eager to have a mission in life, a job, something to do. Knowing he was destined to do something besides standing around all day on the farm or following along behind his mom as she plowed the field. Full of zeal and longing for purpose, yet there he was, waiting. Waiting. Now, the scripture tells us simply that the donkey was tied to a tree, but we can infer that this donkey was waiting patiently. Simply the act of being tied to the tree infers that he was waiting patiently. If he were not waiting patiently, if he were not content to be where God planted him until it was time to move, he would have missed the call of God on his life. If the donkey had broke his rope and ran off, or perhaps injured himself fighting against his restraints, he wouldn't have been in the place that God had specifically set aside for him, the role that God called him to hundreds of years before he was born. We need to wait patiently. We need to wait patiently. You may not be where God ultimately has called you to, but just wait, because he will. Do what you've been called to do in this season while you're waiting for God to call you to the next. One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 13:12. It says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life." Some of you have had dreams and desires for years, and you're still waiting. God's planted some things inside of you, and your hope keeps getting deferred. You've felt the calling of God on your life, maybe towards a particular ministry or a career, but it's never been the right time. The doors haven't opened yet. Or maybe it's a loved one that you've been praying for that would come to salvation. God would say, don't give up hope. Don't break the rope. Don't hurt yourself fighting against my will. Wait patiently. Keep doing what God has you doing now. Keep doing what he's called you to do. And do it diligently and joyfully while you wait for him and for what he's ultimately called you to. If you give up now, if you break your rope or run away, you just might miss out on what God has for you. He that began a good work in you will see it through to completion. We just need to continue to wait patiently on God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Number four. You and I need to be the donkey. Be the donkey. Be nice. I know what you're thinking. Wives, don't be elbowing your husbands. God has called each of us to be the donkey, regardless of our age, regardless of where we are in life or what we do for a living. God has called each of us and entrusted us with the sacred mission of carrying his son into the world. He's entrusted each of us with carrying the gospel into the world. Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave the great commission. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And this commandment is for all of us, not just the theologically educated, not just the Bible school graduate, not just the evangelists or the pastors. We're all called to be the donkey and carry Jesus into the world. And I love that God didn't use a mighty horse. He didn't use a fire-breathing war animal. He didn't use a chariot. I had no idea what those little box things with the couch and the poles and the slaves that carried the king on the little... It's called a litter, like a cat has a litter. I had to look it up because I couldn't figure out what it was called. He didn't use that to carry Jesus into Jerusalem. There was no royalty about it. It was a farm animal. It was the modern day equivalent of, you know, instead of riding into town in a black, shiny stretch limo, it would have been like an 88 Dodge diesel truck. It was a farm animal. It was a John Deere. It was a John Deere. He didn't use something that screamed power and royalty. He used a donkey. And that tells me that God can use me to carry the gospel into the world. You don't have to be something to carry Jesus to the world. You just got to be you. Even if you're a little, you know, have a long face and big ears, God can use you. Even if you're a commoner, school teacher or a mechanic, or you work at the grocery store, the gas station, or the newspaper, or, you know, you're in construction, you push paper around for a living, it doesn't matter. God can use you right where you are to carry the gospel into the world. If you look all through the Bible, you'll see over and over and over again that God didn't use those that were qualified. Those, matter of fact, Moses even said, I'm unqualified. I have a stutter. And God said, that's okay. I'm going to send somebody to help you, but you're going to do what I called you to do. I've got something for you to do, Moses. Samson was a playboy. He was a womanizer. Gideon was a chicken. He was a scaredy cat. And God used him. Peter denied Jesus, and God used him. Over and over and over again, we see in the scripture God taking flawed individuals and using them for his kingdom. Be the donkey. Be willing to carry the gospel into the world. Don't feel like you're inadequate. God's called you right where you are, doing exactly what you're doing to be a light, to carry the gospel. Be the donkey. My last point this morning. Cody, go ahead and come on up. My last point this morning. It's all about who you know. It's all about who you know. I heard a pastor preaching a sermon not too long ago, and Cody, go ahead and come and jump on the guitar. This pastor and his wife were traveling, and they were flying on a plane, and there happened to be a celebrity on the plane, and they met. You know, he got bumped up to first class because he travels a lot, and you know, ended up seated next to this celebrity, and they struck up a conversation. And when they got off the plane, you know, this celebrity asked, "Well, do you have a ride to where you're going?" And he said, "Well, you know, we were just going to get a taxi." And she said, "Well, I've got a limo waiting. So why don't you guys just ride with us? We're going to the same place. Why don't you just ride with us?" And so, you know, here's this humble pastor who, I mean, he's getting to ride in a limo from the airport. He's in first class. They get out of the airport and they start to get in the limo, and there's a crowd of people there, and they're snapping, the paparazzi snapping pictures, and they're cheering, and he's, it has nothing to do with him. He's just along for the ride. But because of who he knew, he got to experience the benefits of royalty. Look again at Mark chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. Many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And those that went before and those that followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna, blessed he that comes in the name of the Lord." By simply carrying Jesus, this donkey got to experience the benefits of the one he was carrying. The crowd was cheering for Christ. They were worshiping and praising and singing praises to Christ. But it was the donkey's feet walking on the garments of the people. It was the donkey's feet walking on the palm branches that were cut down. It was the donkey that got to experience the luxury of royalty, the blessing of royalty. Had nothing to do with him. It was all about who he knew. He was carrying Jesus, and everything that was coming to Jesus was falling to the donkey too. When you carry the gospel, when you carry Christ, there are blessings associated with that. And you don't have to work for them. You don't have to earn them. All you got to do is carry the gospel, carry Jesus. Jesus was riding the donkey, but the donkey was kind of piggybacking on Jesus. And everything that fell to Jesus, all the adoration, all the perks, all the benefits, they fell to the donkey too because of who he knew. When we are where God has called us to be, when we carry his message to the world, there are blessings in store for us as we walk. As we go day to day, just being what he's called us to be, doing what he's called us to do, living out our faith, there are blessings that come to us. There are perks of being a child of the King. And you don't have to earn them. Little donkey, big mission. This little guy had an incredible, incredible task and an incredible honor that had nothing to do with his qualification, nothing to do with his standing in society. And yet God used him. If God can use this little donkey, he can use you and I today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we are grateful for your word. We're grateful, God, for the trip into Jerusalem that you made and that we celebrate today on Palm Sunday. We're grateful, God, for the sacrifice that you made for us, that we could go out and be the donkey. You don't ask us to go and sacrifice our lives, God. You just ask us to go and live for you. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. And God, as we prepare to worship once more, and Lord, as we're praying, I pray that you would move on our hearts, stir our hearts. Speak to us this morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.